Our gospel passage from the Gospel according to Mark describes the encounter of Jesus with a leper. There, it's a, to my mind, a relatively complex account. I'm tempted to regard the leper in a negative light. However, I think there is much that is positive in that encounter between Jesus and the leper, and positive also from the side of the leper himself. Lepers, as we can learn, were people suffering from a variety of skin conditions, apparently, and it's hard to specify just precisely what condition a particular individual was suffering from. If you read the book of Leviticus, there's great detail in the symptoms associated with leprosy, which seems to be quite a broad term covering a wide variety of conditions. But these people, presumably because of fear of contagion, were to live outside of towns, and they were also to cry out whenever somebody approached them, unclean, unclean. Furthermore, their condition was dependent on a verdict given by the priest in Jerusalem, a priest which would take a look at the symptoms and say whether or not this person was clean or unclean. And it was not, for physical reasons, it was not a desirable condition, obviously, but there were many undesirable qualities in terms of socially as well, as far as interaction with other people, because essentially people were in isolation. You couldn't touch a leper, you stayed away from a leper. The leper lived in a secluded area, an area away from people. Given that condition, or that description of leprosy, we can take a look at our passage from Mark's Gospel, where Jesus encounters this leper. The leper does not cry out to him, as far as we know, unclean, unclean, but says to him instead, "If you will, you can make me clean." Another special quality, but what happens is that Jesus has mercy on this individual and actually takes that person's hand in his own and says, "I will be made clean." And the man was cleansed of his leprosy. Now, all of that would be a source of great relief to this individual, but he began to express his relief in a variety of ways. He heard Jesus' command, which was that he say nothing to anyone, but go and show himself to the priest as a testimony to them. But the man, instead of doing that, was so apparently taken up with what had happened to him that he was going around, if not saying to everyone, "Clean, clean," now he was at least telling them what had taken place. And he caused apparently quite a stir in the communities nearby where he lived, such that people came out to see Jesus rather than Jesus being able to go into those communities. What we see here is a person being made free, liberated from a condition, and he's apparently reacting to that liberation by the things he does do, proclaiming to everyone what has taken place. The consequences are it's entirely positive because Jesus has to remain in a secluded place himself where people come to him. Freedom is something that God does for us, and God is the one who calls people into freedom right from the story of Exodus in the book of Exodus, where Moses brings the people out of Egypt, out of slavery, at the leadership of the Lord and brings them into the promised land. But this liberation shows itself in a number of ways, and the Apostle Paul wants to proclaim that in Christ there is neither male nor female, slave nor free, Gentile or Jew. They're all one in Christ Jesus. So no matter what our condition, the faith in Christ brings us into a new relationship with God and therefore secondarily with other people. Now, Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians describes that if, for example, you happen to be married, well, remain in wedlock if you're a follower of Christ. If you are a slave, remain as a slave. But he has the proviso that if you have an opportunity for freedom, well, take it, because the Lord doesn't want any person enslaved. The gospel has this powerful freeing aspect to it, which applied to this leper applies to us all as we are called into faith in Christ and find new life and new relationships with one another. And sometimes that freedom means a conflict perhaps with previous ways in which our lives have been structured. It's interesting that this leper is not the first or not the only emboldened sort of person who comes to Jesus and disturbs his peace, so to speak. There's blind Bartimaeus. When Jesus and his followers are coming into Jerusalem, he's shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd wants him to be quiet, settle down. Or the people bringing children to Jesus, the disciples do not want that because that would disturb the master. But Jesus says to them, "Let the little children come to me." And there are a number of other examples. This man, this leper, apparently sensed in Jesus the opportunity, the prospect of freedom, and laid hold on it. And the result was just what he hoped. He was freed of his condition. Well, what do we make then of Jesus' command? Jesus had command that he tell nothing to anyone about what had taken place, but that he go to present himself to the priest as a witness to them. What do we make of that commandment? Was Jesus serious about that? Should this man have obeyed what Jesus asked of him? Or was it more important simply to exult in the freedom he now had from this leprosy condition and live in company with others, touch someone, have someone touch him and rejoin human society? Wasn't that sufficient? Well, Jesus, we are, as far as we know, to take that command seriously, or that the command that was given to him seriously. Jesus evidently wanted the man to go present himself to the priest and as a witness to them. The Apostle Paul describes his own life as one that is freed from the law, the constraints of the law, but on the other hand, we are called into obedience to Christ. So the man was in the wrong, in the sense that he certainly was called into freedom, and it was a great thing, but he could have, and he should have, apparently, used his freedom to obey the command of Jesus to him to present himself, to present his condition to the priest. Why? Well, perhaps because this would fulfill the requirement of the law, and therefore be in keeping with the customs of the day. And indeed, in our own freedom in the gospel. We don't just go out and do whatever. We don't just exult in our own freedom. We are called into obedience in such a way that, for example, the church is built up. The Apostle Paul, in that same letter to the Corinthians, talks about a place of worship which could become bedlam unless a certain rules were observed, like listening to other people, for example. And so, because as according to Paul, God is not a God of disorder, but a God of order. Let everything be done decently and in order, as 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us. So as well as calling us into the freedom of the children of God, sometimes in a way which conflicts with taboos and practices of the day, Jesus also calls us into obedience to his command. And that's really what this leper should have done, as well as being freed of his leprosy. Now there's one other thing that I'd like to draw your attention to in the passage. He has this command, and it's particular people that are in mind, that Jesus has in mind for him to present himself to. Namely, the priest or priests. These were those people on whose life he was dependent. They were the ones who examined his body to determine whether the leprosy had spread or whether it was diminishing somehow, whether it had left him. These were the people who presumably in the past had said, unclean, out of here, and back to your place. So these were difficult people for this man to approach. In his freedom, he would just go to no matter whom, people that he could easily relate to, but Jesus called on him to go to these difficult people. Go to the priests and show them what has been done as a witness to them. And Christ, who has called us into the freedom of the children of God, calls us into obedience to his command and to, in fact, be a witness to some people whom we have difficulty approaching. We are to go out of our way to approach these people that Christ directs us to in order truly to be a witness of the life that he has created in us. Luther wrote a tract entitled something like The Freedom of the Christian Man, and then he speaks of the Christians being free from all and yet servant of all. And in a way that's, of course, true. We are called into the freedom of the children of God, but we're also called into obedience to Christ's command, an obedience which sometimes takes us to those people whom we'd rather not have anything to do with. Christ calls us to be a witness to them by our lives, by who we, the characteristics that we display, the way we relate to such people, in order to truly see that we are healed, we are made clean, we are freed from those things which have enslaved us in such a way that we can be a servant on God's behalf, on Christ's behalf, of our neighbor. Amen.